Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest era of BDSIR Networks presents No Foul Play. Starting off the season today, guys, and as usual, Rick, welcome by the way, Andy doesn't show his presence, but we do have a new voice into the pod. My buddy Momo from Scotland is here, and as usual though, I am joined by Rick. What's going on, Rick?
Hello.
It's been a while, dude. It's been a while.
I know.
It's been a while. Momo, welcome to the program, our third co-host. He'll be covering all your topics when it comes to Scottish football, but also give us this insight on what has been a crazy start of the season already. But Momo, what's going on, man?
Not a lot, man. Unfortunately, I had to work yesterday, so I got to see zero football, so I've been spending today catching up on results, finding out what's going on. But I did manage to take in both Bournemouth Man United and Arsenal Liverpool, so I'm feeling a bit more refreshed and a bit more aware of what's going on in the world of the football, given the Premiership started this season and the Scottish football started in the last few weeks, so I'm ready to go.
And, you know, from time to time you hear his little squeaky voice in the background. Alex, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. My voice isn't squeaky, but happy to be back.
All right. Shout out to the Colombian, Jurbenjen Martinez, who won a silver gold medal. Excuse me, silver gold medal. What am I saying? A silver medal in
Boston. Silver gold?
I know, dude. I'm sorry. I drank a little bit last night, so I'm a little, I'm a little off. But one silver in boxing for the Colombian national team. That's right, Rick. Eat it. We're still winning medals, okay? Eat it.
Sorry, what? So are we. So Great Britain.
USA are still number one in
medals.
Shut
up about USA.
Get the medals, baby.
All right, guys. So I think obviously we got to kick off the show with the meat and potatoes of really what makes the foundation of the show, which is the Premier League, guys. And what a crazy weekend it has already been in the Premier League. Before we actually get in and in depth, we start dissecting the fixtures. I'm going to go one by one and ask you what your thoughts were for the start of the season. So, Rick, what did you think about match day one, dude? It was crazy for me.
Well, obviously, I spent match day one watching Man City, so I missed half the results coming in, but it was pretty insane. I never thought Leicester would lose against Hull. Never saw that coming. I was, I had Hull guaranteed to get relegated, so that's a shocking result of the weekend for me as well. So.
Momo, what can you take away from the start of the Premier League season?
Wow. Again, with Alex there, I had Hull going down because the state they're in, getting rid of Steve Bruce just like, what, 10 days ago, something like that. Barely having a squad big enough to fill the bench. A couple of other results in there totally threw me and blew a few bets I had on yesterday. But all in all, shocking, but a good start to the season. And I'm looking forward to the next 37 games.
Alex?
I didn't get to watch much at all, but I mean, yeah, like you guys were talking about, Hull winning Leicester, beating Leicester, and then I think Middlesbrough, I didn't get to watch that, but I think they'll do decently. Not like really good, but I think they'll stay up.
One of the things that I'm actually going to take away really quick, guys, and like I said, we'll get into it, was Crystal Palace yesterday. Why am I mentioning Crystal Palace? Because, Rick, they're still on that decline that they couldn't stop. From last season, you remember to end the season. If you remember Crystal Palace last year to begin the season, they went all the way second, set between second and fifth until I think the middle of October or November, and then all of a sudden,
haven't won an away game in about 32 games.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Really? This time around, they were at home, and we'll start off with that game, that home at Selhurst Park. Where they were defeated 1-0 by West Bromwich Albion. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I didn't get to watch any of the game. Didn't even get to see the goal. But really what gets to me is that Palace are spending money, Rick, but they can't open up. Like, they can't – like I feel that there's something missing in that Crystal Palace squad for Alan Pardew. And I can't pinpoint what it is. Is it a natural striker? Do they need a striker? So they go for Christian Benteke. What do you see is the issue with Crystal Palace? Because we didn't see this issue last season when they first opened up the season, right?
I don't know with Palace. I think Palace could be looking at relegation. I think they didn't look great at the end of last season. They haven't signed too much in the summer, and they've lost Bolasie now. He's on his way to Everton. He went to Everton today for a medical.
I didn't know he went over. He went for a medical today. I know that he played yesterday against West Brom.
He was on the bench. Did he come on as a sub?
He did come on.
Okay.
He did come on. But anyway. How about you, Fomo? When it comes to Crystal Palace, like, I've followed Palace. You know, I've been watching Palace, and every time we come on the show, like, I like to talk about Crystal Palace because I like how, what, you know, what their heart is in, and I feel like they could be solidified as a Stoke, quote unquote, of the Premier League. You know, obviously nothing higher than 10th. Yeah. They'll never get relegated, but if they continue on this bad path, they could see themselves in relegation, Momo.
Yeah. I've been very, after last season, and also I'll go into a bit more later on my experiences with my hometown team at Elgin City. I'm very, very careful of who I back for winning or qualifying for Europe, in some cases in relegation. I just, not turned a blind eye as such, but I just didn't really think that Crystal Palace would be having the issues they're having now. I'm just on my Sky Sports app here having a little look. And Crystal Palace manager Alan Pardew has said that they're aiming to bring in a striker before the transfer window closes because they couldn't break down West Brom, but the club are also in transition right now. I mean, I can understand why he's saying that the fans can expect a transitional year, but you say transitional year, you can't really have a transitional year in the Premier League unless you're one of the top six sides, really, because of their spending power and their ability to attract players. I mean, I can't, if yesterday's anything to go by, and I mean, there's obviously still 16 days left in the transfer window, but unless Palace can sign a decent player who will get the service to get in, say, 15 goals all season, maybe 20, just, you know, enough in sort of in amongst the rest of the team goals to keep them up, they could be looking at going back then in the Championship.
They have been linked with Benteke and Berahino.
I did see Berahino, but I mean, I don't know about what's happening with that. But Benteke, I'm under the impression Klopp doesn't want him anymore, which is understandable because, in my opinion, he's not world class. But until there's something obviously more solid, as we all know, it's just speculation. But just reading on here in this little article here I've got, it's just saying that Palace have already accepted a $30 million bid for Bolasie, and that obviously they're waiting for medical today, apparently. I mean, so $30 million is a lot of money. Not really a lot in terms of Premier League spending power, but for a club like Palace, bringing a player with even for even half that money, that could be something that is integral to their survival as the season moves on. I know it's early days, but just going by yesterday, they couldn't break down West Brom. And no disrespect to West Brom, but they're not the greatest of sides either. So it could be a worrying time for Palace fans.
Well, yesterday, like I said, it was 1-0. Crystal Palace were defeated by West Bromwich Albion, and that was a 3 o'clock kickoff in the UK, 10 o'clock kickoff here in the United States at Selhurst Park. But really quick, guys, a rundown of the scores. Burnley 0, Swansea City 1. Rick, you did predict Burnley will go down this season. Still, what I saw yesterday from Burnley, I was actually pretty surprised at what I've seen. Obviously, they're a very small club. They don't have much going forward, but what they have is they have heart and tenacity. Do you still see Burnley though being at the bottom of the of the league, Rick, at the end of the season?
They may not be bottom, but I think they're going to get relegated. I don't think they've got enough through the whole team to stay up. Nothing yesterday showed me anything but that. A team like Swansea, I think a team like Swansea should be trying to beat, and they should be beating, especially at home. If they want to, they're the kind of teams they've got to beat to stay up, because Swansea will be a team that will be near them near the end of the season, I think. I think they'll be fighting along with teams like Swansea to not get relegated. And they just weren't good enough yesterday. And they're at home, and they should have won that game. Should have won it with ease, and they didn't. And it's games like that they've got to win, because I can't imagine they're going to be going away to the United's, Arsenal's, and Liverpool's and coming away with 3 points. So you've got to win against teams around you. But we'll see.
You want to say elaborate on anything, either Alex or Momo, or you want to continue on?
All right, keep going.
I've got to agree. I've seen Burnley played Rangers in a friendly, and they tore us apart 3-1. But again, it's just a friendly. But like your man there saying, they've got to win games at home, like your Swansea, because Swansea's got rid of RC Williams. Got a decent price for him, but that man's in the mainstay of that team, and he's away now. So losing three points against a team like Swansea, that's got to be Burnley's bread and butter for the season to in an attempt to stay up, and that could be detrimental as the season goes on.
All right, so another game also that happened yesterday, guys, obviously Everton versus Tottenham Hotspur. It was 1-1. I caught glimpses of this game. You know, it was at Goodison Park. 34,000 people were there. Ross Barkley opened up the scoreline in the 5th minute. And then Eric Lamella, and it's just by Kyle Walker, made it 1-1 in the 59th minute. Obviously, the big story about this game was John Stones no longer being in the Everton squad. He is now a Manchester City player. But Rick, I don't see. There's something also missing about Everton. Like when I watch them play, I feel like they could do so much more than what they produce based on the talent squad they have around them. But they just don't do it. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. It's like they could do so much more with the squad they have.
Oh, they could. They're a team for me that if they had two or three really good signings, they'd be really good. But you know, I think they need a defender again, which they're going to get with Ashley Williams anyway. They need another midfielder to help out Ross Barkley, and they need somebody next to Lukaku, because I don't think their strike force is good enough. But yeah, I don't know, I might be wrong. They might do really well this season. I mean, I just don't know under Koeman. I mean, fresh idea, I guess. Fresh manager, fresh ideas. So we'll see what happens with them. But I don't think they're going to struggle. I think they'll be mid-table. They'll be a bit like Stoke City this season. I think they'll be finishing mid-table.
Is Yannick Bolasie the answer at Everton, Momo?
No. No. He's a good enough player, but for the guy, I'm not sure what his name is offhand, but the guy that came in and took Everton over just towards the end of the season there, or just post-season. He's on about spending millions upon millions of pounds, which is the norm nowadays in the Premier League, making Everton a force again. Bolasie's a good enough player, but for me, he's not a sort of European-style player, stroke sort of top six, top five, maybe even top four player, which is where Everton, now with their newfound riches, are aiming to go. And I don't think that's the answer. I think we should be looking more at the continent for better players. But, you know, time could prove me wrong, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Hull City, guys. Let's talk about Hull City. Obviously, we're talking about in the beginning of the show. They defeated the reigning champions, Leicester, 2-1. The big absence of N'Golo Kanté not being at Leicester City, you could definitely tell that he was definitely the spine of the team. And when I mean by the spine, I'm talking about, you know, what controlled the team. Between Kanté and Danny Drinkwater, Hull looked lethargic. I think they looked exhausted. And why did they look exhausted? Obviously, they did a tour. They did a tour of the United States, but they played only one game here in the U.S. Flew all the way to California, then went back to Glasgow. I think it was Glasgow where they played Barcelona. So you could definitely tell that the fatigue was there, Rick. And I'm afraid for Leicester, to be honest with you. I know that what they did last season, no one can take that away from them. However, I'm not going to say they're going to get relegated, because I don't see them getting relegated. But I don't see them finishing higher than 10, especially with Champions League football on the horizon, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to struggle this season. They did very well to keep Vardy. I think if Vardy had gone, they'd really be struggling this season. I didn't think they played so badly yesterday against Hull. I thought they were unlucky. They didn't seem to. I mean, teams have now caught on to the idea of the counter attack that they've got, so they'll be prepared for them more this season. But yeah, I think they'll have a top 10 finish.
Alex, you've been quiet. You watched the game yesterday with Leicester and Hull. What do you
No, I didn't get to watch that one. The only ones I watched were
okay.
Well, wait, was that was the early game, right?
That was the early game, yeah. So
I watched like 5 minutes and then I fell back asleep. So
what did you what did you about Leicester though?
I think Leicester can probably do top 10, like 9 or 10 maybe. But I don't think they'll be like that bad. So I think even without Kanté, they can probably still survive, like, mid-table. Mm. But not like, real good, like, just barely mid-table, but still be up there.
Momo?
At best, they'll finish ninth, in my opinion. I mean, like I say, losing Kanté is a big loss. Keeping Vardy was integral. Keeping Drinkwater was integral. Keeping the nucleus of that squad that won the title last year was integral to them being a half-season side this year. Definite flash in the pan. They won't get Champions League. They won't even qualify for Europe for next season, unless by some absolute miracle they've been in Champions League, but that's not going to happen. So I'd say 9th at best. At very worst, 15th. But I can't see being that low.
Okay. Middlesbrough and Stoke, guys. Obviously, newly promoted Middlesbrough haven't been in the Premier League since 2007, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were... I think they were lucky. Stoke, obviously Stoke doing the equalizer in the second half, by Shaqiri. But Rick, I might have to be inclined with you. I think Middlesbrough will be okay this season. I think they'll be okay this season, and I don't see them dropping. And after watching Burnley, I might have to switch my prediction and say Burnley could get relegated. But Middlesbrough did well that yesterday, man. I mean, what you think of Borough?
I like Middlesbrough. I thought they were really good yesterday. Attacking, going for the win. They weren't sitting back defending. Negredo has got a new lease of life at the club. The only thing I would say is Victor Valdez had a bit of a shock on the free kick. I don't think the free kick should... I'm not saying it wasn't a good free kick. It should never have gone in. He dived and missed it. And it was pretty close to him, but I think Mids look really good. I honestly don't think they're going to struggle this season. I think they should be staying up, but we shall see.
Momo.
I think they'll do well to stay up. They're a decent side. I mean, obviously there's the blip they had with Karanka leaving and then coming back, although unless you're Karanka or the sort of high-ups at Middlesbrough, I don't think MD will ever really know what happened there. But they seem a decent enough team. 7 years in the Championship, getting relegated in 2009, you know, it's a long time, but there's been teams that went down and spent a lot longer than that and still haven't come back up. So I think they do well to survive, but I think they'll be all right. It could be a bit of a nervy finish come May, but I think they'll be all right.
Southampton 1, Watford 1. Obviously, Southampton also debuting a new manager. Didn't really get to see none of this game. However, they were down 1-0. Against Watford, and then they came back and actually equalized in the 58th minute. I think Southampton, you know, obviously Southampton, as we know, they do have qualification to the Europa League. I still believe that Southampton, though, with the squad that they have, and obviously they are a selling team. You know, this year they sold Mane, Sadio Mane, and they also sold Victor Wanyama. However, Southampton, for some reason, always, and it's a good thing, always seem to pick it up, stay as a cohesive unit, and be able to do what they got to do, you know, whatever run they got to do, man. How do you see those Southampton with Europa League play, though, Rick? Because I think they can do it, and I think they could advance from the group stages, but how would that affect the Premier League campaign, though?
I think it's going to affect them quite bigger. They haven't got the biggest of squads, so they might struggle. But I can't see them going that far in the Europa League. I think they'll be more concentrating on league survival. Another team that I think might be near the lower ends of the Premier League. I really do. I don't think they're mid-table this season. I think they're going to be a lot lower down, and they won't be finishing top six like they have done in previous seasons. I think they could be in the lower halves.
By the way, Alex, Leicester 66-1 to win the Champions League is not worth putting a dollar. It'll be worth putting $10, but not a dollar.
Why not?
Because you win $66, dude. So you might as well put $10 and win $660 if that comes around. Anyway, Momo, Southampton.
Good season last year. I think they're going to suffer. They've lost Wanyama to Spurs. They've lost Coleman to Everton. I think they're really going to struggle this year. Mid-table, I think. Not going to qualify for Europe, I don't think. I think they'll be just too weak with the loss of that, because Coleman's a great manager, and Wanyama, as much as it pains me to say it, because he's an ex-Celtic player, is a great player. So, yeah, I'm going to say mid-table for Southampton this year.
Don't. I always say don't underestimate, especially a team like Southampton. I personally think that they won't take the Europa League as serious, even though they could probably win their group, depending on the draw they have. However, obviously, Premier League, the Premier League campaign is obviously more important. Rick, you were at the game yesterday, Man City versus Sunderland, 2-1 victors for Pep Guardiola's boys. I'll be honest with you really quick before I let you in. I thought we played poor. Let's put that out there. I thought we played poor. Defensively, I felt like we were shambled.
I could see where he was coming from, actually. I thought defensively, I found defensively really interesting. I mean, I sat there watching it, and at times we had, we started off with four at the back, and then went to three at the back.
It was weird, yeah.
With Kolarov and Clichy. So basically two wing-backs as basically centre-backs, which is a bit odd. I really liked it. I thought it was something different, something enjoyable. Good time to try it out against teams that you should really be beating. I thought we looked really comfortable up to about 70 minutes, where we then decided that it was absolutely fine just giving Sunderland the ball and let them do what they want, and they deservedly got a goal. We got lucky. We got lucky at the end of the game by snatching a goal, well, an own goal, and I don't think it looked that bad. I like John Stones. John Stones looks good, but still has this habit of running into other people's half and thinking he can take on the world, even though he seems to forget that he's a centre back at the start. But yeah, we'll see. And from what it sounds like, Hart's going to struggle getting into the team, and Caballero for me is not the answer. He's not the goalkeeper to be number one for us. So
yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
we shall see.
I mean, in Willie we trust. I mean, we know what he did in the Capital One Cup final last season, when he was able to save the three penalties. But I have to agree with you. Caballero is not the goalkeeper for the future. There are reports out there, and again, this is all rumors, and you know how much we love rumors over here, that obviously it's an unsettling environment between Pep Guardiola and Joe Hart. He will start Willy Caballero for the next game of the Premier League, and apparently, take this as a grain of salt, what's his name? Claudio Bravo.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is now linked with Man City. Apparently, he was City representatives went over to Barcelona today and to try to arrange a medical. I still think that Bravo is not the answer, Rick. Bravo is a 32-year-old goalkeeper. If we are going to get a goalkeeper to replace Joe Hart, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen has to be the answer. It can't be Claudio Bravo.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Joe Hart's been hard done by, to be honest. Yeah, he's made mistakes at the Euros, and people keep pulling that up. I completely accept that, but you know, he's still what is he? 20? I think he's 27, 28. I mean, he's got years ahead of him, and he, I know he's not good with his feet. And that's what Guardiola wants, but Guardiola has this thing of coming into clubs, picking one player and then basically kicking him out, and he's done it every club he's been to. I'm guessing this is what he's doing with Joe Hart, so. It's a shame, but I'd rather have Turgiston than Bravo. I'm not a big believer in Bravo's abilities myself. So
I mean, don't get me wrong, Bravo's not a bad goalkeeper. I think he's
like another version of Willy Caballero. He may be good with his feet, but he can't hold a ball. You kick a ball, you can't
exactly.
have a shot.
Exactly.
It bounces off him left, right, and centre. I want a goal so they can hold onto the ball. He can't do it. It bounces everywhere, which you can't do in the Premier League. We've already seen it, like yesterday. It hits a goalkeeper, comes back out, and somebody will be there to tap it in. So,
Momo.
Yeah, I mean, he's had his moments at major championships the last couple of years where he's made some absolute howlers. And as a resident Scotsman, he has never been to support England, and is also very jealous of England being at tournaments. I find it hilarious, but at club level, I think it's a bit harsh that Guardiola's doing this. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Guardiola. The man's a genius. Did so well at Barca and Bayern, and I have absolutely no doubt in my mind he's going to smash it at City. But it appears that his time is up, and now he's done it at Man City. I don't think it's very fair, because again, like I said, at tournament level for internationals, he's had a couple of horror shows, but at club level, he's been fairly solid. I mean, okay, you know, the Ireland team City have got, the two times, I believe, they won the league last couple of years, they have deserved it. But, I mean, when you've got a team like that, you could potentially put any half-season keeper in goals and still win the league. But Joe Hart, he's not a bad keeper. But that's just the way Guardiola works. And, it's, like I said, it just seems that his time is up now at Man City.
One thing that I don't like about Pep Guardiola, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's his demeanor when it comes to press conferences. I don't like this passiveness of Pep Guardiola when we know he's not a passive manager. Like I'm not going to compare him to Manuel Pellegrini in comparison to his passiveness. But his last press conferences, I felt like he's too passive. Do you think? I mean, am I wrong for thinking that, or?
I think it's two completely different personas. I think you're in front of the press, he's calm, he's relaxed, he knows what he's doing. But I think in front of the players, if he wants to lose his rag, he'll lose his rag. I mean, I saw him on the touchline yesterday, and there was a moment where I think it was Collard decided to put a ball 20 yards across the field and completely missed it. And he absolutely lost it. Guardiola lost it compared to the touchline. So,
Alex, you want to say anything?
I mean, like you said, I think Ter Stegen's definitely the guy if we get rid of him. I just don't know, like, what the cost. It'll probably cost, like, not that we can't pay it, but it'll be definitely a really high price tag for him. Or anyone that's, like, that level of a replacement for Hart, too.
I would say if you get Stegen for Barca, it'll probably be a world record for a keeper, I would say.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
I would say so.
What do you think? 72, it's like £72 million or something like that that they want.
Some ridiculous.
No,
I don't know about that much.
42.5, is it not?
I don't know about.
Hang on, I'll Google it. Nah, I'll find it. Hang on.
Well, the Daily Mail also.
They're not going to pay £72 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. The Daily Mail, Goal.com, and Soccer Lens. Sorry, Momo. Please contain yourself. It says Claudio Bravo is now finally close to joining Manchester City. Apparently, he agreed with personal terms, and he may do for a medical either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
It's looking like Claudio Bravo. It really is, and it's unfortunate. It is very unfortunate. Huh?
Can I just jump in? Buffon was £33 million, Parma Juventus.
Yeah. When he was sold from where? From
Parma.
Parma to Juventus.
Absolutely.
We'll see what Claudio Bravo brings, guys. I mean, I have a feeling that we are going to get Claudio Bravo, but we'll see. Let's continue on, guys, in the next game, which is Manchester United versus Bournemouth. I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch this game. So what if one of you guys watched it, if you could elaborate. I mean, I know that United won, and apparently they won well.
I only watched a few minutes of it. Like, literally, like, 5 minutes.
Rick?
I wouldn't say you.
Or Momo, either one. Go ahead, Momo.
Okay, I wouldn't say they won well. It was a good game, don't get me wrong. It had its moments. Couple of nice moves from Bournemouth and a really nice turn, which I sort of had a little shout out. I was like, oh, that's, you know, great move. Zlatan and Rooney both getting on the score sheet despite a lot of the guys before the game saying they can't play together. They did play together and they played well together, but it wasn't like your sort of, I suppose, what people, you could say, maybe not vintage Man United, because obviously against a new style under Mourinho, but for what people are expecting of Man United this season under Mourinho, to be bossing a lot of games. They didn't have it all their own way. Bournemouth got a good goal back, 65th minute, something like that. Well-taken goal. It was only ever going to be a consolation goal because Man United did control the game mostly, but it wasn't like entirely their own way for 90 minutes. It was, at times, Bournemouth did have a lot of possession and did well to hold Man United off.
Okay. Rick?
Yeah, I wasn't that entertained by United. They turned up, I know it's an away game, but they turned up and they no team between Bournemouth or United seems to want to go all out attack and go for the win. They're both very cagey to start with, and I think that showed, because I think they all struggled, and it was quite entertaining to see the one player who's been slated to be sold by Mourinho was managed to pounce on some silly defending to get a goal, and then obviously his last time scored later on and things, and they were in control, United, after the second goal, so it wasn't exciting. I wouldn't call it attacking football. I felt the whole game was quite cagey.
And now we got to talk about what transpired this morning, guys. And it was an insane game. I was actually talking to Rick offline when this game was going on.
There were some nice goals scored in that game.
Liverpool 4, Arsenal 3. What a game, guys! I mean, it was like both teams didn't have a defense, they didn't care, and it was pretty much, well, let's score on both Petrček and Simon Mignolet show. Seriously, it was like that.
But some of those Liverpool goals weren't easy goals either. They were like quality shots. The one on the free kick
was fantastic.
It was just literally insane though. Rick, what you think about the game, man? I mean, I know that we're talking offline a bit, and you're like, "Yo, this is some crazy, crazy stuff going on, man."
Yeah, you're coming from a team like Arsenal that haven't spent that much money in the summer, and Arsene Wenger seems very adamant that he doesn't need that many changes. I was just wow. I was watching defensively. I mean, I felt sorry for the goalkeepers defensively. The defense was awful for Arsenal. I mean, going forward they did well, but defensively they just weren't up to scratch. And then Liverpool, they should have seen the game out. Well, once they were, as soon as they went up winning, they should have seen the game out, and they didn't. They let Arsenal back in with some ridiculous defending of their own. And if these two sides are expected to be challenging for the championship, they've got a lot of improvement, because there's no chance they're going to go to United, Tottenham and City with teams like that and not get absolutely hammered. But I thought personally Liverpool were the better team out of the two. Arsenal really needs to improve defensively.
Yeah, they were woeful. But then again, they didn't have Per Mertesacker there. They didn't have Gabriel. I know that he's been injured. And I think they're going to be gone for a bit too. So I get you on that. But they were terrible though, Momo. It was just absolutely terrible.
Defensively, they're both shocking. Mingley had an absolute stinker for, I believe, it was Arsenal's second goal. I mean, to be fair, Moreno was, again, a liability. And I was out having a couple of pints with my dad. And my dad's, like, a big Liverpool supporter. And he was just getting really annoyed with Moreno. Was like, anytime Moreno got the ball, he's like, oh, he's a liability. It's like, you could begin to see in the play that Moreno was being a bit of a liability because he wasn't looking, he wasn't paying attention. He was also at fault for the penalty as well. He gave away the penalty, and it was a silly, silly place to put a challenge like that. I mean, the first time I've seen it, I was like, oh, he's given the penalty. What for? But then it showed you in slow motion. He didn't even touch the ball. He's just really lucky that the IFAB changed the rules for this season and got rid of the triple threat punishment for a last man challenge in the box, because if not, that would have been Liverpool down to 10 men, and we probably wouldn't have had the 4-3 entertaining match that we had. But I mean, I've got to agree, there's not a chance that, based on that performance for either team, they're going to have a sniff of the title with defensive frailties and goalkeeping frailties, especially on Liverpool's side, after today. No way.
You see, that's Arsenal. Obviously, that's Arsenal's demise, is the fact that they're not active in the transfer window. Unfortunately for them, they're never going to be able to win a title when you have a manager that's
if diluted, you have the money,
like Arsene Wenger.
At least find someone.
Yeah, this is what I don't get, right? I mean, the previous 10 years before that, the reason they didn't spend money in transfer window was because they're using all the money they had to pay off the stadium, which is fair enough because they wanted a new stadium to bring them to the next level. Now we're 2 years into the stadium being paid off, and they've won the FA Cup twice in the last 3 years. Fair play. It's a difficult competition to win, but if you're wanting to go to the next level, you've got to spend to get to that next level. You can't just be like, aye, we'll spend 50 million quid and we'll suddenly be Champions League last four every year. It's not going to happen like that.
They did sign the Japanese Messi, though, so you got to watch out for that guy.
Who?
I don't even know. I don't even remember
exactly
what his name was.
I mean,
I'll Google it.
They've only signed that dude. And,
well, they signed
Xhaka.
Xhaka's decent, right? Not like
he
too
was
good,
decent
but
in Mönchengladbach. He was decent, but he's obviously he's not the answer to
nothing too good.
Title hopes. I mean, they're not gonna win no title with Oliver Giroud up top. It's just,
I mean, it seems like they're linked with that. I don't even know how to. I'm not even gonna try to say his first name. Mustafi, the German defender. Seems like that could happen. I don't know, but then again, it's only a rumor. But that would definitely help them. Not the answer, but that would definitely be a lot of help getting another center back in there that's pretty decent.
Rick, what about especially for Arsenal? If Gabriel and Mertesacker come back, right, and then they have obviously a solid defense,
mm-hmm.
What do they need for them to win the title, though, Rick? Is it getting
someone to score goals?
So you're saying Giroud?
No, God, no. I said someone to score goals. You need two Sanchezes. That's what you need. Sanchez
two.
Has a great season.
figure out how to use cloning technology, put all your transfer money towards that.
Well, they're trying to put their belief in Theo Walcott to be a striker. I mean, good luck to them with that, but I just can't see it. They just need, if you look at every team in the Premier League who's top 4, 5, 6, even top 10, they have one striker who is their out-and-out number one striker. City have Aguero, United, they've got more than one. Chelsea, they've got their out-and-out striker. Every team has got a striker that they depend on. Like, Tottenham have got Harry Kane. Arsenal, I can't believe that Giroud's your out-and-out striker because he doesn't score enough goals. They've got Danny Welbeck, who can't go a season without being injured. You know, they're heavily reliant on Ozil and Sanchez. So, and if Ozil or Sanchez get injured, there's not much else there except Theo Walcott. But they had a good game today. They did miss a penalty.
Momo Giroud, is he the answer?
If Giroud's the answer, I'm signing for Barcelona in the next 5 minutes.
Powers, you know, obviously Powers.
We laugh, but Arsenal have got a bank. You know, if we're led to believe that Arsenal have got a bank balance of 300 million kitty to spend on players, why don't they go out and sign some world-class striker like Higuain or anybody? They could have had so many players. They were going to get that never happened.
They could have trumped Juventus, four times over and still have money to spend for the fee he went for.
But Arsene Wenger refuses to do it, and I don't understand why. He refuses flat to sign a full out-and-out striker or a world-class defender or a world-class goalkeeper. He only signed Petr Cech because he was going on a cheap.
he got for nothing.
Yeah.
But this is what I was saying. You know, they've paid off the stadium. That took 10, 11, 12 years. Fair play to them. But the whole point of the stadium, like I said already, was to go to the next level so they'd have all this extra money from the incoming TV deals, from the silly money that's coming in from TV. Now the silly money's there. They're debt-free. They own their own stadium. They can trump people like Juventus. We'll go out on a limb here and say four teams that can definitely out-trump them in the transfer market, and that is Barcelona, Real Madrid, Man City, Man United, because of the unlimited wealth they've got and unlimited pockets they've got, pretty much, you know, which is fair enough because they are the world's four most rich teams. But like you're saying, Arsenal, 300 million in the bank, so we're led to believe. Why don't they just go, okay, Juventus, that's nice. You're wanting to offer 72.5 million for Higuain. Napoli, here's 100 million. Can we have him, please?
It's depressing. It's depressing when all you see is Arsene Wenger is happy. He's happy to finish top four every season and get into the Champions League. That's not what I want from a manager. You want a manager that wants to win the league, and it's just not bothering
him. I mean, was it like, don't quote me this, but it was like maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and Arsenal scrapes top four by a skin of their teeth on the last day. And they're celebrating like they won the Champions League. It's just like, you're sitting watching it and it's like, really?
Yeah. That's
ridiculous.
I couldn't be an Arsenal fan right now. I mean, you know, the Arsenal fans seem happy to finish in top four. They were celebrating every time they finished top four. I don't get it. It's not something to celebrate. It's not worth celebrating to finish top four. You should be trying to win the league, not celebrating things like that. So
the money they've got, allegedly, they should be like, yeah, top four is good, but not good enough. When I left the pub, the top 10 worldwide tweets, number 10 was Wenger out. And it's now number 6. It's now number 6 because my Twitter feed is set to worldwide trends. Wenger out is number 6. And that's like in an hour since I left the pub. So give it another hour. It will probably be top.
Wow. So that conversation turned... turned a little sour, especially for Arsenal fans. But Arsenal just like to... I don't think it's that it's Arsenal. Obviously, it's your manager. Arsene Wenger likes to underachieve. And until he's not gone, that team will not win a Premier League. It's just not going to happen. You buy great players like Sanchez. Sanchez is a fantastic player. Hell, I think any of us would want him in one of our squads.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
he'd be better than Navas, so top upgrade right there.
Better than Navas? I think anyone is better than Navas, dude.
I don't think I am, but I'd probably be close if I could actually stay on the field for 90 minutes and not fall over and die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's crazy. I'm actually gonna bring in my buddy Nathan. He is obviously he's part of Flock Football. I'm bringing him in right now, and I'm sure that he's gonna want to get his point across when it comes to Arsenal and United and all that good stuff. But what I'm getting him on, guys, obviously. I'm not even going to read the league table because it's stupid to read the league table. I'm going to say what number one is Man United, number two is Liverpool. Get out of here.
What's hey, but on? let them have their top spot while they can.
You stupid, Alex. Hey, what's going on, man? Welcome to the program here on BDSR Networks presents No Foul Play. Dude, we were just talking about United and Arsenal. Actually, we got into a really nice little heated debate when it comes to Arsenal. And I asked Rick, I'm like, Rick, is Giroud the answer up top? He's like, oh, God, no, not if you want to score goals. But you saw the game today, 4-3.
Right.
What do you think of that and what do you think of Man United's performance also today, man? If he's there. Nate, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. There you go.
Oh, cool. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Just adjust my microphone. Performance today was like 7 out of 10. I wanted to see more Mkhitaryan, but he only played about like five or ten minutes. I was very happy with Abramovich, obviously. Rooney, it's going to be a case of Rooney or Abramovich. If you want Rashford up front, which I think is going to go with that sort of thing when Pogba comes in. But yeah, it was okay.
And what about Liverpool and Arsenal mess, dude? What do you think about that?
It's both teams sort of lacking in defence, really. You saw both teams sort of... There was a lot of goals in it, but Liverpool looked slightly the better team. From the beginning, I thought Liverpool would win. They have more attacking options going up front. They just look like a better team. I mean, they went up 4-1. I think Coutinho's a better player. Arsenal's the same story every season. More money. Who are they investing? Are they going to invest in bigger players? Every year we have the same conversation. Giroud's not the answer up front. They should have bought more strikers. But, Wenger seems to know what he's doing. So, I mean, did you hear the boos at the end of the match?
Yeah. And in fact,
it was worse than last season when they lost to West Ham.
In fact, I think it was... what was the 10th trend going on? Was it Wenger out?
Well, when I left the pub, it was number 10. That was just over an hour ago. But now it's number 6.
Jesus. Number 6.
And like I said, I'd say give it another hour or so. When people start drifting home from the pub and things like that, start getting out to the city centre of London, it will get higher and higher. And as per usual, when Arsenal lose, the Wenger out will hit number 1 probably.
Yeah.
I'll just say.
Well, Rick... Powers want me to tell you, no matter what, I still love Arsenal and we're going to win the league.
Oh, that's nice, because when they finish mid-table, and he'll be coming on here, chanting about how he wants Arsene Wenger out again for another season again. And
it'll be Wenger in if they win next week.
As long as they qualify for the Champions League again, it's all good.
And you mean it, and they finish fourth then? Because, they always finish fourth.
Yeah, they'll struggle into fourth last day. They'll be really proud of it. They won't have won the league again, but they'll be really proud of it because they've got Champions League football, which is really important to help bulker up their finances and all that. Oh, it's so boring.
I try to put Powers in, but he says he can't come on because apparently he's out working or whatever. But I really wanted you to go at him when it comes to...
He won't be working. He'll be hiding because, as we all know, I spent the 90 minutes whilst watching the game also fishing on Flock Football.
Oh, God. That was great. I joined in on that a little bit, too, but I was out watching it. That was a good one.
Well, the pub has got Wi-Fi, so I was connected to Wi-Fi. I was like, I'm just going to spend the next 85 minutes fishing. Didn't work. So
I think even Nate took a jab at Powers But it's always fun to jab.
It is because he bites.
What happened?
I said it is because he bites. It's funny.
All right, guys. So basically, that was the Premier League. You know, so once again, I'm gonna go. Nathan, I wanted to ask you this question.
Right.
What's your key takeaway for what you see the first week of the first week of the Premier League already in the books? What's your key takeaway?
I don't think you can take too much away from like the first game or so. I mean, a lot of players have come back from injuries. Some players are tired from preseason. You know, it's like you can't take too much away from the first like game. I think you have to wait for the first like few games or so, because again, a lot of teams have made signings. Some of the signings you haven't seen yet. Some are suspended, Pogba. Some are just, you know, injured or whatever like that. So like wait until September, I'd say. But the first couple of weeks, I mean, the first weekend was pretty good. There's loads of goals. There wasn't many boring matches. A few draws, but there was a lot of goals, especially on Sunday. There was 11 goals today in two games. So it's fantastic.
Well, I think there was one game though that was putting me to sleep yesterday. It was a 10 o'clock game, and I think it was the Burnley and Swansea.
It put me to bed.
That put me to bed. I'm not even gonna front with that. Alex, any key takeaways, dude?
I don't think you can really take anything away. But I did want to ask, what do you guys think? What's your top four this season? Top four, top five.
Rick?
Jesus.
Or do you think it's too early?
I know Rick hates talking about that. He's going to say it's too early. But Rick, what do you think?
So, Burnley top, Hull second.
Oh, my God.
All right. You all laugh at that one. Yeah, it's too early. Seriously, come on. Okay. Oh.
A prediction. Not like a...
A prediction.
Somewhat serious.
Burnley are going to get relegated.
Okay.
Yes.
Go a hole.
That's a prediction. If you
that works.
I think Middlesbrough will stay up.
My top four, Alex, I'll tell you. I don't mind playing devil's advocate here. I have, in no particular order, City, United, Spurs, and I want to say Chelsea. You say Liverpool?
I think Liverpool could surprise a few and go top four, like fourth, fifth, somewhere in there. Do pretty good.
Nate, you got Liverpool in fourth.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And what about Arsenal out of the top five or top four?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, if you're not going to invest money in certain positions, that with Arsenal, you can't like be riding your luck all the time. Certain clubs like Spurs, Liverpool, they're going to get better, especially with their managers like Pochettino, Klopp. They will get better. Whereas Wenger's the longest running manager. I think it's time to go, to be honest. So you know, like there's going to be teams that come up with like new philosophies, new players, fresher players in Arsenal, and they're going to be better than Arsenal.
Yeah, very true. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and continue on with the show, and then we'll get into the German and the Spanish Super League Super Cups in a second. But before we do, one of the reasons why Momo now joins us every week is because he is going to be our Scottish football correspondent. So I'm going to go ahead and give him, you know, a few minutes to talk about Scottish football. I know he's very excited. He's been counting down to talk about Scottish football on Flag Football. He wanted the show to already start. Well, the day is here, Momo. So go ahead, man. Go ahead with your recap of Scottish football, dude. I know you got something to say.
Yeah, thank you, man. I've got to say thanks to the invite to take him on the show. As we all know, Scottish football is the greatest league in the world. It surpasses.
You're smoking crack. You are smoking crack.
Yeah, and the whole like dark side Scottish football, as we all know, is terrible. But as I'm sure you're all aware, from my postings, which are many in Flock Football, that I am a big supporter of two teams in Scotland, one being the mighty Glasgow Rangers, who over the last 4 years had our troubles, but we got promoted last season from the Championship at the second attempt, back to where we belong in the top league, and also my hometown team, Elgin City, who are in Scotland's bottom senior division and finished second last season by 4 points and got knocked out the promotion playoffs in the semi-final stage, which was devastating. Anyway, swiftly moving on from that, there's a couple of live videos on Flock Football I posted doing a roundup, because our season's actually started way back on July 16th with the Betfred League Cup, which has been moved now from to start there with a group stage, with the final being played in November. So that information's all there, including the draw, which is made during the week there for the quarterfinals, which is played next month. Also the Iron Brew Cup, which is essentially the Scottish Challenge Cup, just rebranded again, different format, a few additional teams, including the Premiership sides under 20s. Again, another live video was live on Flock Football with the results and roundups there. But moving on, yesterday was the second match day in the Premiership. My team Rangers, we went away to Dundee and we won 2-1, a hard fought game from what I'm told, because my dad was down at the game. Harry Forrester and Kenny Miller getting the goals for Rangers to send us top of the league. Aberdeen, runners-up last two seasons. They played last season's shock third-place team Hearts, who only got promoted back to the Premiership at the First and Vasco in the last season. They drew 0-0 at Pittodrie. Celtic and Partick, the game was postponed because Celtic went away to play in the International Champions Cup. And just in case you're wondering, they got beat 2-0 by Inter Milan. And that's ahead of their Champions League playoff round against Hapoel Beersheba, I believe, on Wednesday night. Hamilton Academical Law went down 2-1 to Kilmarnock at home. Those two teams are both highly tipped for relegation. Kilmarnock have been awful the last few years, and last season they were in the relegation playoff and defeated Falkirk in the final to maintain their Premiership status, whilst Hamilton are the favourites to go down this year, slipping up again there yesterday after getting a point against Rangers in the first weekend. Highland Derby, Inverness Cali Thistle, who as the season goes on and the shows go on, you'll learn I have a deep, deep hatred for. They went down to local rivals Ross County 3-2 in Inverness, leaving them rooted to the bottom of the league. Both had really, really awful opening cup campaigns. Ross County winning the League Cup last season, knocked out in the first round. Cali knocked out in the first round also, and also both under 20 teams knocked out in the Iron Brew Challenge Cup as well, to Highland League sides. Finally, the final game in the Premiership yesterday, Motherwell going down 2-1 at home to St Johnstone. Not really a big game. Both teams are sort of tipped for maybe finishing in the bottom six, because Scottish Premiership is silly. More on that as the season goes on, when it gets closer to the time to explain things. Into the Championship, Dundee United, one of Scotland's bigger clubs, supposedly, who were relegated last season, they went down 1-0 to Dumbarton, one of only two part-time teams in the Championship. So that's quite funny, because there's a bit of rivalry there between Rangers and Dundee United. Hibernian, third season in the Championship, they managed to defeat Dunfermline, who were newly promoted from League One last season, 2-1. Greenock Morton, drawing 1-1 with last season's runners-up in the Championship, Falkirk. Queen of South, who will face Rangers next in the Betfred Cup quarterfinals, defeating the only other part-time team in that league, Air United, who were promoted last season, 4-1. Raith Rovers, who some of you may recognise from defeating Celtic in the League Cup a good 22 years ago as the last Scottish team to qualify for Europe via the League Cup, beating St Mirren, who are in their second season in the Championship, 3-1 at home in Kirkcaldy. Down to League One, Airdrieonian, losing 4-2 to Livingston. Livingston relegated last season, and they are they're the favourites for that league. Albion Rovers, losing to last season's survivalists by the skin of our teeth, Beacon City 2-0. Peterhead, Elgin City's local-ish rivals, since we both got promoted to the league 17 years ago, going down 3-0 to last season's League Two champions, East Fife, 3-0 at home, leaving them rooted to the bottom of the league. Queen's Park, who won the promotion playoffs last season, defeating Elgin's Conquerors Clyde. They beat Stannismuir 2-1 away from home. And second favourites for the league, Alloa Athletic, beat last season's runners-up Stranraer by 5-2 in Stranraer. On to League Two now, where my knowledge is a lot better, because this is Elgin City's league. Berwick Rangers, finishing 8th last season, defeated Annan Athletic, who finished 5th by 2-0. Bit of a shock result there, because Annan are a very good side. They do have defensive problems, but they do score a hell of a lot of goals. My boys, Elgin City, We were at home yesterday. We defeated the first ever team to win the promotion playoffs from the Highlands / Lowlands League playoff match. Because there's lower leagues there from the north of Scotland and south of Scotland. The winners of each there play each other in a playoff. Whoever wins then plays the team who are bottom of League 2 at the end of the season in a promotion relegation scrap. East Stirling going down 2-1, I believe it was, overall last season to get relegated to the Lowland League, but Edinburgh City came up. So Elgin City winning 3-0 yesterday. 3 goals in 7 first half minutes from my boys Craig Gunn, who has been at Elgin for 10 years now and is a prolific scorer, and Shane Sutherland grabbing 2 himself in 4 minutes. Fantastic result there, sending City top of the league. Forth Athletic relegated last season and bottom place in League 2. Bottom place in League 2, beating last season's fellow relegatees, if that's even a word, Cowdenbeath 4-3. Putting fourth or second, but due to inferior goal difference, that's why they're second. Montrose and Arbroath in the Angus Derby. Montrose and Arbroath finishing 9th and 7th respectively last season, drawing 1-1. And finally, Stirling Albion, who had a semi-decent cup run, they drew 1-1 at home to league favourites for the season, Clyde, who have ex-Rangers midfielder Barry Ferguson at the helm. And that will do for this Scottish football lineup.
All right, that was a lot of information. That was a lot of information, guys. Right now, going on really quick, Nate and Rick and Momo. I apologize, by the way, the dogs in the background. Dortmund 0, Bayern Munich 0. It's actually a trophy that is very keen to Borussia Dortmund, Rick. And you know it's true because we have won it the last 2. Out of the 4...
Because you can't win the league, I know, yeah.
Shut up, all right? I'm going to say this when it comes to the...
Move on.
I'm going to say, and by the way, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and tell you that without Pep Guardiola, Bayern Munich will not win the league title this year. That's right. I said...
Oh, you made me laugh.
The second best league in the world will be won by Borussia Dortmund this year. Why do you laugh? Did you see the reinforcements that Borussia Dortmund has brought in?
Have you seen what Bayern have been doing?
Bartra. You know, these are quality players.
Have you seen the manager? Have you seen the manager Bayern have got? You fool.
Who else did Bayern got?
Who's their manager, dude? Who's the manager?
Carlo Ancelotti.
Exactly. All you need to know.
So you're being condescending that Thomas Tuchel can't do it.
Who's your manager again? Dortmund's manager.
Thomas Tuchel.
Who?
You heard me.
Who?
You're an idiot.
Who?
You're an idiot.
My point is proven. All right, move on.
Sure. Anyway, so that's going on right now. Dortmund 0, Bayern Munich 0. And then tonight, guys, in about an hour's time, Sevilla will face Barcelona in the Spanish Super Cup. One thing that I hate about that trophy, Nate, is that it's over 2 legs, dude. Like, I don't understand why they can't be... Like the German Super Cup or the or the
Champions League.
What happened?
Well, why can't it be just one game?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why Spain does that. It's
I don't know.
It's pretty stupid. Let's go with predictions, Nate. Who do you got? Sevilla versus Barcelona, dude.
I would like 2-1 Sevilla, but I'm gonna go with 2-0 Barcelona.
2-0 Barcelona. Momo?
Yeah.
3-1 Barca.
3-1 Barca. Okay. Rick?
I'm going 2-0 Barca.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1. Because especially what I saw from Sevilla over the UEFA Super Cup, they actually look pretty good. They look like a strong strong squad. I know Sampaoli, who was the Chilean manager. It's definitely a great replacement for Emery. Went over to PSG. And speaking of PSG, guys, I mean, Ligue 1 also started this weekend. Obviously, your usual suspects, PSG won, I believe, also Monaco, though, guys. Monaco drew with Bastia, if I'm not mistaken. They drew 2-2. Lyon won 3-0. Lille lost to newly promoted Metz 3-2. And then right now you have Marseille and Toulouse at 0-0. Also, Nice beat Rennes. And then Bordeaux beat ASSE 3-2. I'm sorry, Rick. Monaco drew with Gingham. I thought it was with Bastia, but no, PSG beat Bastia.
Don't knock Gingham, dude. Don't knock Gingham. That's awesome.
You love Gingham.
Damn right I do. Only 2 points below PSG right now.
Yeah, that's basically it when it comes to Ligue 1, which obviously that means our time is basically up, because there's the only thing really what's been going on, guys, is just the Premier League today and some of the Scottish football that Mom will talk about.
Well, we forgot to mention the fact Colombia got dumped out of the Olympics.
I don't want to talk about that.
I don't know. The Brazil beat you. Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone's got a chance, please do watch the Olympic football. It's been quite entertaining. Brazil have struggled their way through. And when I say struggle, didn't beat the Iran, drew against somebody else, managed to get a winning game. I think it was
Iraq, not Iran.
Iraq, and then got some by Mark. Then they came against Colombia. You know, everybody said Colombia were a great team, and Brazil battered them.
Well, first of all, it's the under-23s.
Yeah, it's the Olympic sport, mate. Okay. It's the Olympic sport. It's the Olympics.
It's the under-23s.
Here we go. Get used to it. Yeah, go on.
Second, who's still number three in the world?
Yeah, because that's what matters about world rankings. That's what's important in the world. World rankings.
Who's number three in the world?
Not what you've won. It's not what you've won in life. It's what ranking you've got.
Three in the world.
Yeah.
Was England at again?
We don't have a team.
No, anyway. Was England at?
Great Britain. Yes. Anyway. It's Great Britain. We don't have a team because we don't need one, because we're just that good at football. We're just that good. Between Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales, we're just that good. Between all of us, we're just good enough in the world. So, you know. Just putting that in.
Has anyone seen Coutinho's...
What happened? Go ahead.
Did anyone see Coutinho's free kick today?
Yes. Ooh. Great free kick.
How come the
Stanley's free kick? Yeah, it was great. Really quick, guys, before we get out of here, I'm going to read some Argentinian scores also. Actually, no, they're not even playing this week. Okay.
Are we going to do Chinese Super League as well?
No, we're going to do the Indian Super League.
God. Desperate, is it not?
Oh, by the way, big shout out to Atletico Nacional. That's right, my boyhood team from where I was born in Medellin, Colombia, won the Copa Libertadores de America. So they will be going over to Japan and probably getting thumped by Real Madrid. Yeah. Anyway.
At least you accept that.
Huh?
At least you accept it. You know, you're getting your excuses out the way now.
Here's the thing, though. And we also lost everything. Like, Atletico Nacional has lost basically... They lost their spine, who was Marlos Moreno, was sold over to Manchester City. Now he's on loan to Deportivo La Coruña. But that kid was basically the guy that kept the team alive, I guess you could say, you know, with its cohesion, you know, like with its togetherness and everything. So it's not looking good. We're probably going to get thumped. It wouldn't surprise me to get thumped by Real Madrid like 5-0. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's fair enough.
But anyway, guys, so we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Momo, thank you once again. Nate, thanks for coming in. Next time, if you want to, join in earlier, so that way you have the brunt of the whole, the whole conversation. Rick, as usual, you're a douchebag, but you are you are part of this network. Don't forget, guys, tomorrow, Monday through Friday also, but starting tomorrow, Monday through Friday, the Soul in Sports on Fox Sports 1340 AM. Hopewell. I will be hosting tomorrow. So if you're listening and you're in the Virginia area, you can log on to Fox Sports 1340 AM, hopefully, which I will be doing the Soul in Sports. Also, don't forget our Empower in Sports Entertainment. Actually, our season debut is this upcoming Saturday at 9 p.m. We're going to be talking UFC 202. Is it 201? 202, yeah. UFC 202. We're also going to be talking about the Olympics, Kevin Durant and the Warriors, all that good stuff. And then, obviously, Sunday back here again for No Foul Play at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 a.m. UK. Rick, where can they find you, buddy?
I'm on Twitter at RickFishBoy. Send me any tweets. If anybody wants to send me their predictions of when Colombia are going to win a World Cup, that'd be awesome. Because so far we've got the nearest it's past 2030, which is pretty optimistic. So, you know, if anybody want to predict when Colombia are going to win a World Cup, hit me up, and the best answer gets mentioned on the show. So hit me up at RickFishBoy. What?
Momo, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at OSWTVKev. That's at OSWTVKev. If you want to talk about Scottish football or any football or anything in general, fire me a tweet. I'll get back to you. I'm a nice guy like that.
And Nate, where can they find you, buddy?
Facebook. Just Facebook.
He doesn't have any other social media. So if you see Nate on Flock Football, you'll know who he is, because we constantly go back and forth when it comes to Man City and Man United. He honestly swears that his team is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But let me tell you, defensively, they're trash, Nate. They're trash. Guys, I'm on Facebook.
I could have counted the amount of empty seats I saw in the Etihad, you know.
Why don't you get some new material, dude?
Get some new material. It's true. It's the present.
Yeah. We filled the stadium yesterday, pretty much. But okay, sure.
What the fuck, man?
All right, guys. You can reach me at Real Hugo Rueda on Twitter. At BDSIR, no foul play as well. Andy should be back next week, Rick. We'll see if he comes back. I don't know what's up with him.
Not happening.
Not happening. All right, you're already calling it not happening. But anyway, guys, for Nathan, Momo, Rick, and myself, we'll see y'all next week. Peace.